How many know our day goes better when we started out with Jesus? Amen. And we listen to the right voice throughout the day. And you know, you cannot recognize God's voice if you don't get acquainted with God. Amen. How many would recognize my voice if I were to call on the phone and not introduce myself to you? Some of you say, oh man, I'm used to that voice. But we recognize one another's voice if we've been acquainted with one another. So it is with the Lord. When we're acquainted with Him, we know His voice. You know, because the enemy wants to impersonate His voice. He wants us to listen to Him, and he wants to impersonate the Holy Spirit. But Jesus says, my sheep do what? They hear my voice, don't they? Yeah. And they follow me, and I know them, he said. So, if you're God's sheep this morning, go, baa! All right. If you're a goat, say, maa! All right, good. We're in good company this morning. So. We just want to encourage you, okay, to stay, amen, in the Word of God. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. See, sometimes we just want to depend on somebody else's faith because they've been hearing the Word of God, but we're not. Right? God wants you to know how to come to Him yourself and feed, right? If you're hungry, you come to the Lord. Amen. Just don't depend on brothers and sisters. All right? To coddle you and take care of you, you got to learn how to walk on your own. There's a time when a babe needs to be fed. Amen. But if you're training up a child in the way he should go, you're teaching that child how to feed themselves. Amen. There comes a time when they got to get off the nipple and they got to get in and get the fork in hand and start feeding themselves. All right. So it is. God wants us to grow up and to rely upon Him. We can't be somebody's Jesus in the sense that we can't take God's place in someone's life. Amen. We can be a vessel that God would work through. But what we want to do is point people to the only one who can save and heal and deliver. Amen. And that is Jesus Christ. He's got to be the center, the focus of it all. He's got to be the topic of our discussions. Amen. And our preaching needs to be centered in Him. Amen. Who alone holds immortality. You and I can make outward changes, but we cannot change our heart. Only God changes the heart. But God waits for you and I to give Him access to our hearts, to humble ourselves and allow Him to be Lord. How many know that the Lord wants to use you? Amen. He wants you to be His servant. He wants you to be His vessel. And there are a diversity of gifts. There are different functions within the body. People have different passions and desires that God has given. Amen. And so what we need to do is discover who we are, okay, and be faithful to what God has invested in us. Take what He's given and pass it on. If you are faithful to give what God gives you, He will take care of you. That's how it works, amen? You're not going to ever be able to outgive God. And I'm not just talking about money. How many know I'm talking about? You serving the Lord, it's a matter of your life. Where your heart is where your treasure is. Okay? God doesn't want us to be lovers of filthy lucre, amen? Just greedy for stuff and money and possessions. However, God does take care of those things, amen? If we prioritize His kingdom above everything else in our lives, God will always make sure that our stuff is taken care of. Isn't that what He promised in Matthew 6:33? If we seek the kingdom, all right? Now, we're living in the time, and there's nothing new under the sun. How many know that people are still the same they were thousands of years ago? Same types of personalities, same kinds of good people and bad people or whatever. But everyone has a need for something or someone bigger than they are in their life. When I was young, you know, Bruce is only a couple years older than me. But he was my big brother, you know. I can remember, you know, we'd be on the neighborhood and something would go down and it's good to have some backup, right? You got somebody bigger than you that can come to your help or whatever, to your aid. I don't want to go into details about that, but how many know what I'm talking about? There's times when you just need some backup in life. And if you're in a situation that's beyond what you can handle, thank God we have the police we can call, right? We have the authorities that we can call. And at least they can show up and fill out the report by the time they get there. But, you know, we do have somebody that can... Thank God for the men in blue. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Thank God for police. It's good to be, for me to be able to say that. Because one time I was like, man, I didn't like seeing the police. Now it's like, hey, how you doing, man? Thanks for your service, right? Because I got a clear conscience now. It's washed in the blood. I'm a new creation. It's good to be able to lay down at night and go to sleep, all right? Not wondering about, well, what's going to happen? Or am I going to get caught? Amen. Like looking in the mirror and seeing a police car, right? So God is good, and God changes hearts and changes lives, and He allows us to partner with Him. This is the awesome thing. He takes broken vessels, fills them with His power, amen, and uses us and allows us to be a partner with Him in this ministry. Now, everyone has an understanding and a need of something bigger and greater than themselves in their lives. And so sometimes we artificially try to fill those voids with celebrities or sports figures or some human beings, right, that people esteem, and they even call them divas or whatever, you know, today. Because there's a need in every human heart for God. Amen. And if we don't know who the living God is, then we replace Him with idols. So God wants to fill us with Himself. God wants to fill us with His holy power and give us strength in Him, confidence in Him. But the devil also wants to get a hold of us too. How many know the devil is looking for a vessel to possess too? So to whom you yield yourself is the one you're going to end up serving. So if you just think that it's okay for me to just be a casual attender, a casual Christian, and maybe just be casual about sin, you're very deceived, because the enemy is just looking for someone just like you who wants to be casual about sin, because he's looking for opportunity in your life. But God wants to fill your life with Him. He wants you to be overflowing in the love of God. Amen. And He wants you to have His peace that passes all understanding. He wants you to be able to lay down at night and rest your head and say, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Thank you, Lord. And give God thanks for all things. Amen. He is good. Truly, He's good. In Joel chapter 2, verse 28, it says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, not just some, but all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. So these are going to be the signs, amen, that God is pouring out His spirit. But wherever you find the authentic, you find the counterfeit too. You know, people that count money know what the authentic looks like, right? You've all heard that said before. You don't study the counterfeit, you study the true. So when the counterfeit shows up, you say, no, that I know what the true looks like. So how many know you don't have to go and look into all the darkness and discover all the secrets of evil? You just need to know what God says. Amen. Study His word. Find out who God is and what His character's like and what God would approve of and disapprove of. And have discernment that comes through the word and the spirit working together. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would come and He would be your teacher. He would lead you into all truth. All truth. And what is truth? Well, the truth is that which frees us from the lie. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So truth is what's real, what's authentic. And so in order for me to know the difference, I need to study the truth and know what is authentic. Amen? And that means I need to study the Lord. I need to seek Him. I need to pursue Him and His word. Amen? So that when the counterfeit comes, when the inferior thing tries to present itself as an acceptable thing or a desirable thing, I know right away this is a lie. This is not true. How many beside myself have believed the lie at least once in your life? We've all been duped, haven't we? We've all believed something to be true even though it was not. And Jesus said in Mark 16 and verse 17, "These signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." They will take up serpents. What God is saying, He's going to give power and authority to His believers. Amen? To trample over all the works of the enemy. Doesn't mean we go out and we buy a bunch of rattlesnakes, amen, and bring them into the church. All right? And test God. He's not talking about a literal rattlesnake or a snake, amen? We know that Paul was bitten by a serpent and shook it off because he was in the will of God. He wasn't going to die as long as he was in the mission of God. You're not going anywhere until God says it's time to go home, amen? So he shook it off and the people thought, he must be a God. Who can do that? Well, it was the God with him. Amen. But really, he's talking about authority here. God would give exousia, authority as sons and daughters, and dunamis, dynamic working power. Power and authority in his name to conquer the enemy. Amen. To overcome in this world. To destroy every work of darkness. I want to say this because it's true, but how many think that's a good idea if I say something that's true? Okay. Say amen. Yeah, make me feel good. Yeah. There is a requirement, I believe, for God's people to represent Him correctly, authentically, in authority and in power. We've been called not just to speak about, talk about, but to demonstrate the gospel. We're called to demonstrate the gospel. And these signs, Jesus said, will follow them that believe. Now, what does a sign do? Once again, it points to someone, right? So the sign should never point to the messenger. It should point to the one who sent the messenger. I want to talk again this morning about this thing called discernment. The ability to tell the difference between darkness and light, good and evil. We need to be able to make good judgments, smart judgments in everything that we do in life. Whether it's your job, your family situation, whatever you're doing, you need discernment. You need to be able to make wise judgments. Now, I know some people have a problem with someone judging them, but they do the same thing. Why? Because God expects us to use the common sense even that He gives us in life to make judgments. If somebody, come on, is doing something inappropriate, or if you're getting something, you know, in your gut that's telling you, watch out for this person, don't ignore that. Because what you'll find out is if you continue to walk with the Lord and you acknowledge Him and you pray and ask the Lord to give you direction and to show you who you can trust and who you can't trust, the Lord will do that. But it takes a little time to get to know somebody. Come on. Sometimes you can meet somebody and right away you think, oh man, this person is just, they're straight up. It's like, yeah, and that's a good car for me too, you know. But we have to be careful that we're not just biting, okay, off any kind of fruit before we know the source of the fruit. This is the problem today, is that people are looking for power. They're going to psychics. They're going to mediums. They're even now is the demon magicians that are out there doing their parlor tricks, you know, doing things that are impossible, humanly speaking. They're not just sleight of hand. They're using demons to do their stuff, to wow people and to seduce them away from Christ to follow after Satan. And people are buying it. People are going after it. Why? Because inside mankind is this understanding, this desire to become part of something bigger than ourselves. We have that, as you heard it said, a God-shaped hole in us. Amen? And the enemy wants to fill that hole. Amen? But the Lord, the Holy Spirit, wants to fill us. Amen? And so we have to be discerning about what's happening today so that we're not tapping into demonic power and thinking that it's from God. I'm baffled by the lack of discernment I see today, even in the body of Christ. The stuff that people are allowing, there's a lack of discernment, and I want to get into that a little bit here as to why that is. I can tell you from personal experience that in any area of compromise in my life, I give access to darkness and evil. Amen? And after a while, you can become insensitive to the Spirit of God, and you can start to believe the lie as though it were your truth. You can be deceived as a believer. Jesus said, if possible, even the elect will be deceived in the last days. So we've got all kinds of stuff going on today, don't we, with these people that are out doing miracles even. But one of the common denominators is that the false prophets are drawing attention to themselves and not Christ. Or in some cases, they are drawing attention to the devil. They're on a mission for the devil to deceive people to follow Lucifer. So there is a generation today who is encountering the true and living God. Amen. Who are being baptized in the Spirit of the Lord, who are walking in the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit, who are going about doing good like Jesus did and destroying the works of the devil. So there is a generation that is connecting with God. God's got a remnant. Amen. He's had a remnant throughout history. And I trust today I'm looking at the remnant, that we're part of that remnant. We're the ones that are not going to follow after another voice, another Jesus, another spirit, but we're going to follow the true Jesus, amen, the Christ, the Son of the living God. So we don't want to be deceived into thinking that demonic power is God's power. And sometimes people are so desperate and so hungry for answers that they're not being discerning about who they subject themselves to, even in ministry. How many know it's very important that we are able to read the fruit of someone's life? To make a determination whether this person is of God or not. I've seen people prophesy, speak in tongues, do miracles, but then you look at their life and there's a big disconnect between how they live their life and what they may be demonstrating in as far as in power. Is this making sense today? One of the common denominators of a false prophet is they live a vile life. In other words, they may be talking about Jesus a lot, but you look at the fruit of their life and it's saying something differently. That's why Jesus says, in works you deny me. You show love with your lips, but your heart is far from me. You understand? It's not enough just to give God lip service. God wants our heart. And Raji talked about Wednesday night about how we need to let God change our hearts. That's really the matter. He talked about how sometimes we can outwardly make behavior changes and restrain ourselves from saying what we may be really thinking, okay? But what we need to ask is the question, is that the heart of God that's responding even inside of me? Or is that the flesh? And God is the only one that can change us from the inside out. Anybody can put on a show, right? And can act like a Christian. So anytime someone wants to align themselves or to obtain spiritual power, to glorify themselves, they're actually aligning themselves with the demonic. Anytime someone is pursuing power to glorify themselves, they're actually aligning themselves with the demonic. Can I suggest to you that this is happening quite frequently today? That there are people that are pursuing gifts and power because They're trying to make a name for themselves. But it's really not to glorify the Lord, but to glorify themselves. Broken, unaffirmed people are very vulnerable to this deception. Because everybody is wanting or needing affirmation in life. We're needing confirmation in our lives. We're needing someone, amen, to say, well done. I'm proud of you, son. You've done a good job. And many times we've grown up without that. Many people have grown up without any type of affirmation. They've never had anybody, you know, speak well. They've always been critical and just pointing out their faults and their failures. And just through life in general, we can become very broken people. Anybody beside myself identify with that? And so sometimes because of my brokenness, I'm looking for something to make me feel better about myself. And if I'm not turning to the person of Jesus Christ, amen, to do that work in me of healing and restoring so that I can then be trusted with divine power and authority. If I'm just simply seeking a gift to validate myself in the eyes of man for the purpose of ultimately glorifying myself in the eyes of people, then I'm actually tapping into demonic. That is illegal power. Why? Because it's not under the authority of God. It's not submitting to God. It is seeking a gift. It is going another way around to climb up. But Jesus said, I am the door. I am the way. Amen? And you must come through Jesus Christ. You must come through the cross. You must come through repentance. Amen? And a renouncing of my shameful, sinful ways before God, that God would cleanse me in His blood, amen, and make me a vessel of honor that He can then fill with His power, amen, and trust me with His authority so I can represent Him in this world, glorifying the Lord in this world, pointing people to Jesus Christ, amen, but never to self. Oh, thank you, Lord. Let's face it, many people are tired of institutionalized religion, right? And they're wanting to move in the authentic power of God. And you know, that's a good thing. God put that in us. Why? Because He wants to be a vessel. He wants us to be His vessel. And He wants us to allow Him to work in us. Amen. And through us. God wants to fill you up. So how can I know the difference between the authentic and the counterfeit? Well, the most obvious way is by the Word of God. Amen. But not just the Word of God, the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God working together. Because there are people who, like you said earlier, brother, that know a lot of Scripture. They can quote Scripture. But do they know the God of the Scripture? Do they know the voice of the Shepherd, the true Shepherd? So Jesus said the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, would teach you. He would guide you into all truth, lead you. So we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But in order to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we must repent of our sins. Turn to God and give God the whole offering. Lay the whole thing down on the altar and die to self there. So now God has a vessel that He can trust, that He can use and fill with His authentic power and give authority to, because God will not bless a mess. He wants to clean you up and clean me up. Amen. He wants to clean up the mess and make something beautiful out of your life. That's His heart. That's His desire, is to make you and I beautiful. We are the bride of Christ, and He wants a pure vessel, a vessel that's been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. But we have to be careful because sometimes, I want to just call it Christian thrill seeking. We can run around here and run around there just looking for the latest, greatest, whatever's happening over here. But do we know even the person that's delivering the goods? We need to examine the fruit of one's life before we make a determination whether we should submit ourselves to that authority and receive from that spirit. Are you hearing me, somebody? Because the devil can counterfeit, and some people are so naive, they don't judge anything. They just think, well, there's miracles going on over here, and I need a miracle, so they go running over here and they go running over there. But do you know the source of that power? Is that source of power under the authority of God, or is this person a lone ranger out doing their own thing? And they're not connected to the head, and they're not connected to the body of Christ. Four things we need to ask: what Jesus are they teaching? What Jesus is being presented? How do I know? Who's a true servant of God? Secondly, accuracy of what they say. Thirdly, inner witness of the Holy Spirit. Is this bearing witness with the Spirit of God in me? And then the fruit, like we just talked about, the fruit of one's life. Luke 6:43, New Living Translation, says a good tree can't produce bad fruit, right? And a bad tree can't produce good fruit. A tree is identified by its fruit. Figs are never gathered from thorn bushes, and grapes are not picked from bramble bushes. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what's in your heart. So after a while, you'll get to know who somebody is, if you're spending a little time with them, simply by what comes out of their... It's very important that we can distinguish between a false prophet and a true believer who may have just stepped into error due to immaturity. You understand? All of us step into error occasionally, and we do things out of immaturity, and there's a thing called grace. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, there's a thing called grace. So if we make a mistake, amen, but you're a true believer, you're the planting of the Lord, then you simply learn from it. Amen? And you don't have to just throw everything out with the bathwater and say, well, I'm done. I made a mistake. The devil wants to beat you down when you make a mistake and give you just to simply quit. But we don't want to quit, do we? We want to learn and grow and practice and step out for Jesus. Amen? And sometimes, I don't know about you, but I've done things just out of immaturity. I have a zeal for God. I want to do things for God, and I'm out kind of exploring territory and seeing what's happening and how God will use me. And then occasionally I get into error, and thank God I've had people in my life that have spoken into my life and said, brother, you're getting off course here. You know, someone who really loves you will tell you the truth. Does it always feel good to hear the truth? No. But sometimes it hurts so good, doesn't it? It hurts good. Because somebody's loving me enough to tell me the truth. So I want to make something clear here. I'm going to talk about a false prophet and not, or a believer who just may be in error, okay? Due to immaturity. There's a difference, okay? What we do want to... What we do want is to be very careful that we're not being presumptuous, that we're not just out there doing stuff off the cuff without being careful to walk with the Lord daily in a relationship with the Lord, so that we get to know His voice and make sure that things are right between me and the Lord. Come on, somebody. My brother was talking about this morning. We need to make sure that our hearts are right with God. Amen. Because again, I don't want to be vomiting on somebody. Amen. I want to be blessing somebody, and I can't produce bitter and sweet water at the same time. I want to make sure, amen, the source, the fountainhead, amen, is Jesus Christ, amen. And there's no defilement in me or anything that's going to interfere with the purity of God's Spirit flowing out of my life. And so that's why I need to confess my sins to God, and I need to examine myself in light of His holy word. And if the Holy Spirit convicts me about something, I need to be quick to say, yes, Lord, amen, and deny that part of me that wants to rebel and do its own thing. How many times have we justified our actions? Amen. We know God's speaking to us, but we're just like, I don't want to hear it right now. I don't want to hear it right now. And we make the decision, and then later we say, oh, God, help me. Come on, somebody. I've been there. Instead of listening to His voice, and He was warning you about something, oh, God, but I want it so bad. Well, I'm not going to ask God. He may say no. But He's a good father, and He'll discipline His children. I don't want to be a son that's always being disciplined. I don't know about you, but I know some people, they're always under the discipline of God. Why? Simply because they're rebellious. But they may be a son or daughter, but they're just rebellious, and God has to discipline. And I don't want to be under the discipline of the Father. I mean, it's no fun. It's good for me when I need it, but it's no fun. I don't like to live there. Amen? There's times, there's seasons when we go through a discipline in our lives. Amen? God has to give us an attitude adjustment. Listen, the more surrendered a person is to the source of power, the more clearly the attributes of that source become evident. The more surrendered a person is to the source of power, the more clearly the attributes of that source become evident. So if you're submitted to Jesus Christ, amen, then the fruit of Jesus Christ will be manifested through your life. But if you're surrendered to a different source, where self is the center of the affection. Are you hearing me? Where I'm seeking to make a name for myself rather than Christ. Well, that will also in time become evident. I won't be bearing the good fruit of the Spirit. Amen. I'll be bearing the fruit of the flesh. Even though there may be miracles, there will be the fruit of the flesh. Amen. Nobody likes that, right? And let me just say this, fruit takes time. Fruit is not instantaneous. So you need time to get to know a person, amen, so that you can make a wise evaluation of who this person truly is. Not just what they say and do, but who they are and if they're in right standing with God or not. See, on YouTube, on the internet, there's all kinds of stuff out there, man. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You got people in their grandma's basement or in their back seat of their car considering themselves prophets. There's no accountability. There's nobody in their life figuring out who this person really is and who are they really serving. You have to kind of very carefully evaluate what they're saying by the Spirit and the Word and say, does this line up with what the Holy Spirit is showing me through the Word of God? Amen? So there's people that are able, you don't even have to send away for credentials from Cracker Jacks anymore, you know? You can just set up a YouTube site and have your own ministry there. And I'm not against that, but I am saying you got to be careful because there's all kinds of weird stuff. And what happens is today, people are so confused. Confusion is of the enemy. Babes in the Lord are hungry. They want to be fed. But often they're not discerning. They're not mature enough to make a wise discernment or judgment. And so they start feeding from the wrong source. They start drinking from polluted wells. That's why it's important to be in a church, amen, where you know you're going to get good food and where that person is truly a man or woman of God, amen. I'm not just here to pat myself. I'm just saying in general, people need to be in fellowship. They need to be under, amen, authority in the context of a church body where there's some type of accountability, amen. Where if I'm going to prophesy, hey, there's others here that can judge. Isn't that what the Bible says, right? Let two prophesy, three at the most, and let the others judge. Oh, judge not. I'm going to go in the parking lot and give this prophecy because I don't want anybody judging what I'm saying. But have you noticed that the cults have one thing in common? And it's always the secret knowledge. It's always the things done in secret that they're drawing. Hey, if you really want to know what's going on, you got to come in this back room. You got to go through these rituals. Do you really want to get deeper into what we're about and find out the mysteries? Come and follow us. How many are you talking about? But Jesus said, whatever is whispered in the ear shall be proclaimed from the housetop. What we do is done in the light. Can you say amen? Who we are should be known. People should know that is a true child of God there. Amen. Their life is backing up, amen, what they say. They're not just talking it. They're walking it too. God help us and God help me. But when we're operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Holy Spirit will become more and more evident in our life. And what are they? How many know what they are? Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. What is this? This is all the fruit of agape, the fruit of God, the fruit of God's heart. Amen. These good things. The New Living Translation says in 1 Corinthians 13:4, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous. Love is not boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. But those who are operating in occultic power will become more and more like the one they receive their power from. Paul warned Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, but evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So whenever we run into someone who claims to be a servant of the Lord and that their life is categorized by pride, ego, hate, depression, jealousy. How about inability to relate to others? Or allow others to speak into their life? How many know you got some people that consider themselves godly, but they refuse to allow somebody to speak into their life? They refuse to allow somebody to correct them. How many know that the fruit of the Spirit, amen, is yielding to the Spirit. We cannot produce His fruit if we're not submitted to Him and allowing His life to flow through us. Another fruit of the flesh is people that desire, hear me, to control you, to control others around them. So people seek out power so that they can manipulate, control others. Yeah. How many know who Johanna Michelson is? I shared this on the first part of this, but I want to say it and quote it for you who haven't heard that. This is a woman who was deceived, thinking that she was serving the Lord when she was serving Satan. And she had a spirit guide, and guess what the spirit guide's name was? Jesus. But it wasn't the true Jesus. It was another Jesus. She said, when we walk in fellowship with our Lord As we come to know Him, His Holy Spirit bears witness within us concerning these things. But where we have grieved His Holy Spirit through sin and disobedience, this inner witness becomes warped and distorted, and we no longer see or understand. The inner witness becomes warped and distorted when we grieve the Holy Spirit through sin and disobedience. And that inner witness becomes what? Ineffective. How many know that you can quench the Holy Spirit? How many know that you can grieve the Holy Spirit? We're not to shut off the flow of the Holy Spirit. How do we shut off the flow of the Holy Spirit? By denying the Holy Spirit. We shut off the flow of the Holy Spirit by not cooperating with the Holy Spirit. By not listening to the Holy Spirit. And our inner witness can become ineffective if we continue to resist the Spirit of God, and we can become hardened to the voice of God. Is that possible? Is it possible for you or I to become hardened? Is it possible that there are maybe many, many people today that are in the church who are what we call gospel hardened? They've heard it over and over and over again, but there's been no contriteness. There's been no response. There's been no repentance. They've resisted and resisted and resisted the Holy Spirit. Even though they go and they enjoy the music and they listen to the preaching and they say amen. But someone, how many know you can have love with your mouth? You can tell God all kinds of things, but your heart can be far from Him. Oh God, help us. I don't ever want to become hardened in my heart to where that inner witness is no longer being effective in me, because that's where I believe people become deceived. That's why people don't have discernment in many cases, I believe, is either they're a child, they're a babe in the Lord, which is understandable, and they're there to learn and to grow. But the other way that people become deceived is that they continue to resist the voice of God. They resist the Holy Spirit, and they become calloused and insensitive to the voice of God. To where we used to hear God very clearly now. Are you hearing me, somebody? Where is the fear of the Lord today? People treat God like He's their buddy. And like somehow obedience is optional. If I feel like it. When you really know God and you will reverence God, you will fear God when you know God, and you know when God is saying something to you, you want to step up and toe the line and say, "Yes, Lord." When I drift and I fall away from God, that inner witness becomes insensitive, and I can do things now without even blinking an eye that at one time would cause me shame and I would be embarrassed about. But somehow we've become insensitive now to the things that God hates and the things that He loves. When you're close to God, you will love the things He loves. You will want to be with God's people. You will want to obey the voice of God. You will want to serve the Lord when you're close to God. Amen? But when you drift away from God, those things are no longer important to you. Instead, the world becomes your priority. The temporal things of this life become your priority. Come on, somebody. Am I speaking the truth today? God does not want His people bowing down to idols. John finished his book to the new church, the New Testament church, with little children, keep yourselves from idols. Don't bow down to these other gods. Don't allow the distractions of the enemy to rob you of your inheritance. God wants you and I to enter in and have an abundant welcome into heaven someday, where the Lord will say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I want to know that I'm saved. I want to know that I'm right with God. I want to know that if I were to die today, there's no question in my mind where I'm going to spend eternity. And that's not going to be based upon the fact that, oh, I've been so good. It's going to be based upon the fact that God is so good. And I trust Him. And when you trust Him, you obey Him. There's an old hymn that we used to sing, "Trust and Obey." For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. One of the signs of occultic power, even though it can be impersonating Holy Spirit power, is that that person's personality is usually very fragmented. They're often becoming more and more self-destructive, break down, become very negative, very pessimistic. Come on, how many beside myself, when you start to drift away from God, you start getting into the funk of complaining and pessimism and negativity? Amen. But when you're in the Lord and you're in right standing with the Lord, the joy of the Lord is your strength. There's a smile on your face. Amen. And you just love people and you just want to edify and build and encourage and strengthen and help others. You want to serve people because God's working in you by His Spirit. When you're close to Jesus, you're going to want to do the things that Jesus does. Let that be a way to examine yourself. Do I desire to do the things that Jesus does? Because if I don't, there's a problem. If I'm into myself, but I'm not into Him, I'm not going to care about the things of God. Galatians 5:19 through 21 talks about what these works of the flesh are. And you guys can read them on your own. There they are right there. Immorality, right on the top of the list there, sexual immorality. It's rampant in the church. Every kind of sin is in the church today. People going to church and then living, you know, in fornication, homosexuality, all these sins that are listed here. People thinking, oh, that's all right. We're under grace. But let me remind you that the book of Titus says that the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to do what? Deny ungodly and worldly lusts. Denying godliness and worldly lusts, and to live soberly, righteously, and holy lives, amen, unto the Lord. When the grace of God is really effectual in your life, it will produce a holy life. Because the fear of the Lord will govern you and guide you and protect you. So even though nobody's looking, the Lord is with me. The Lord is seeing. Are you hearing me? When you're drifted, when you're far away from God, you start to get into a place where you start to do things that at one time used to bother you, but you're just thinking, well, nobody's going to know, nobody's going to see. But when you're close to the Lord, you know the Lord is there, the Lord is seeing, and everything's being written down in the book. And the day will come when the books will be opened. The book of life also. Let me just throw this out there. We have this thing where we say, and it gets tossed around the body of Christ, well, when you accepted Jesus into your heart, your name was written in the Lamb's book of life. Where in the Bible does it say that? The Bible talks about your name being blotted out, but it doesn't say that it was written in. Why? Because Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, was slain from the foundation of the world. In God's eternal purpose, amen, Jesus Christ has already paid for the sins, amen? It's already taken care of in eternity. And so if we come to Him and we confess, He will forgive, He will cleanse, amen? But what it does mean is that my name is there now, already. But the day will come when some will have their name blotted out. That's where we read in Revelation, I will not blot your name out of my book. Moses said, Lord, blot me out of your book for your people's sake. He had a heart for his people. But it doesn't say that when you say this sinner's prayer that your name is written in. You see, a lot of things we repeat and we say are things that we have not really seen or studied for ourselves. We just assume because somebody said it, it must be, or because a minister said it, it must be in the Word. I remember a young man, Jason, was a young man that I knew who grew up in the church. Started out in the church, like a lot of kids, you know, just ran around, played, had a flannel graph Jesus, you know, Bible stories and punch, you know. But he never really knew the Lord. Is it possible for our children to grow up in the church and never know Jesus? Yes. It's happening too often. Why? Because you look at the fruit of their life and you can determine what the root is by the fruit. We need our children to be saved and saved good. Children need to come the same way through the cross, through repentance. Amen? Turning to God and forsaking sin and the ways of the world. So Jason grew up in the church, and then Jason got into his teen years. Like a lot of teenagers, he began to experiment with drugs. He started to get into things that he shouldn't. And he started to have a fascination for demonic rock music, certain types of rock music where they're exalting Satan. And from there, it went into full-blown Satan, Book of the Dead. He went into the big stuff where he said he had these huge demons chasing him around his apartment. To where at one time he thought he was in control of them, they turned on him, and now he's running from them. And they're tormenting him, and they're making him do things. And maybe this is a little bit too graphic, but I want to just tell you that one night you can see he has the scars to prove it. He took a lighter, and he held it on his arm, and he just roasted his arm, you know, on both sides, took a bite. Actually ate the flesh and just, of course, ruined the tendons, and he had to have a lot of surgery. While he was listening to demonic rock music with a friend. Now, what happened to Jason? It didn't happen overnight. He started out, you know, just kind of dabbling with it. But he would tell you, he started to become paranoid. He started to get, his personality was fractured. It got to the point where he was afraid to go outside. He became self-destructive, obviously, and oppressed and paranoid. And this didn't happen right away, but it was a slow process of falling away. And can I suggest to you that there are people who have been strong in the Lord, that once walked with the Lord, that were close to the Lord, who today have nothing to do with God, who are totally living for the flesh, the world, and the devil? Is that possible? Were they ever truly born again? I don't know. But all I know is you don't want to toy with the darkness. You don't want to have anything to do with the darkness. Don't dabble. Don't play with it. Don't subject yourself, amen, to any spirits other than the Holy Spirit. Don't mess around with these psychics. Don't watch this garbage, amen, on the television that's promoting and exalting evil. Come on, somebody. Christians are watching all kinds of garbage and they wonder why they can't sleep at night. Man, turn that thing off. Get the Word in you. Turn to Jesus, amen. Let the light of Christ shine in your heart. Bring deliverance to your life. Chase out the darkness with the light of Christ. So many Christians today don't see any problem with Harry Potter or Dungeons and Dragons and all these things that are introductory witchcraft. That's what it is. It's a recruitment to get our young people to get involved in witchcraft. I'm talking about, I could go on and on about the list of things right now. Most of your children's toys today are occultic in nature. Even the little cutie things. Like the little trolls. There's a Satanist that came out of that and said those trolls represent demons. Everybody's infatuated with UFOs and aliens and trying to see and if they can find anything. I heard a story of a woman that got demon possessed because she was looking for UFOs. Folks, these are nothing more than demons masquerading as aliens from another planet. But how come we're not able to see that? How come we don't have the discernment to be able to say that, hey, wait a minute, there's something wrong with this picture. There's something wrong with this. Are you hearing me? Why is that? Because I think there's a lack of light in our hearts. When you are full of the light of Christ, full of the Holy Spirit, because you are not rebelling against God, you are obeying His Word, you are cooperating with the Holy Spirit. When you are full of the Holy Spirit, the light is on. And you can see clearly in the Spirit and know clearly what is of God and what is not. And you will know the voice of the Lord, and you'll say, no other voice will I listen to except Him. I want to challenge you today to get alone with God. As God spoke to you today, get alone with God. Get right with God. Return to God. Recommit yourself to God. Amen? And forsake anything to do with the darkness, with the occult. Pray and ask the Holy Spirit to show you what needs to go in your home. Amen? Okay, if you've got any trinkets or little idols or fetishes or anything like that that's connected to darkness, even, folks, I hate to say this, but dream catchers. There's all kinds of little things, little trinkets and traps the enemy uses as a magnet to attract demons into your home. And you need to pray and say, God, I need discernment. God, give me the gift of discernment. Give me the ability to see what is of You and what is not of You. And anything that's not of You, I will take. I won't donate it to Goodwill. I'll burn it. Amen. I'm not going to take those filthy CDs or whatever they were, DVDs, and donate them to Goodwill. Why pollute somebody else with them? Amen. Take them out and burn them. The early church took their stuff and they burned it. They had a bonfire. They said, we're done with it. Amen. We're going after Jesus. 100%. I don't want any darkness in me. Amen. I don't want to end up in the other place. Because I'm bowing down to the wrong Jesus. And I've been deceived by the devil into thinking that somehow the Jesus I have is the Jesus of the Bible. When it may be simply an idol I've set up in my heart that presents itself as Jesus. Thank you for coming and thank you for listening today. I care about you and that's why I'm sharing these things. We love you and thank you and we praise you, Father God. For the Son of Your love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Lord, we pray that You would revive Your people, revive Your church. God, we ask You to cleanse us, to wash us, to purify us. God, I ask You to purge us. I ask You to drive out the darkness, drive out the demons, drive out the enemy, God. God, bring to our attention all those things that we need to divorce ourselves from, that we need to get out of our lives, God, and that we can put the good in, we can get the Word in, hallelujah, the light of truth into our spirit, into our understanding. God, I ask You to grant repentance unto Your people this day, that we will make up our minds, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve no other gods. We will serve the Lord. We will give ourselves to obey the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And to listen to Him only. Hallelujah. Father, I pray, bring healing and bring deliverance to Your people. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over this congregation right now. Lord God, I pray that You would cleanse right now, that You would heal and that You deliver. Hallelujah. And Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, we command you to go. We command you to go now. The Lord rebuke you. Loose them in Jesus' name. Let them go free right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray the fear of God to come upon every soul. Yes. That we will fear only You. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. But we're going to a city. Here we have no continuing city. But we look for one to come, wherein dwelleth righteousness. For the Lord has gone before us, our forerunner, who's gone behind the veil, as our great high priest representing us. And then whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. God, deliver every captive. Set every prisoner free. Break the yoke of the oppressor off Your people. God, that we will walk in the freedom that you purchased for us at the cross, bearing fruit and manifesting the true, authentic gifts of the Holy Spirit. That your power, your authentic power, will manifest, God, in signs and wonders and miracles of the Holy Spirit, God. We are hungry and we're thirsty for you, the living God. We want to know you. We want to know your voice, God. And I want to know that my heart is right with you today. Right where you're at, you just repent and turn to God. And you determine you're going to commit yourself to God, to His people, to fellowship, to the Word of God, to be taught, to be learned, amen, to grow up in God, hallelujah. And you got to refuse that other voice that would distract you and pull you away from fellowship. When you make a mistake, you run right to God, amen. Don't ever run away from Him. He's there to greet you. He's there to meet you. He's there to forgive you and hug you and restore you. And He celebrates you. Thank you, Lord. God, we love you. God, we thank you. We praise you. We worship you. There is none like you. We worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is all I want to do. We give you praise, for you are our righteousness. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. In Christ alone I place my trust. And find my glory in the power of the cross as I die to self and live in Him. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of hope, strength is who? Christ alone.